The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Mark.
Glory to you, Lord.
A leper came to Jesus and kneeling down begged him and said, "If you wish, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hands, touched him and said, "I do will it. Be made clean." The leprosy left him immediately, and he was made clean. Then, warning him sternly, he dismissed him at once. He said to him, "See that you tell no one anything, but go show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleaning what Moses prescribed. That will be proof for them." The man went away and began to publicize the whole matter. He spread the report abroad so that it was impossible for Jesus to enter a town openly. He remained outside in the deserted places, and people kept bringing people to him from everywhere. The Gospel of the Lord.
Our gospel for today has to do with Jesus' healing of a leper. It is coupled with a passage from the book of Leviticus dealing with the whole issue of leprosy for the Israelites. That was our first reading. Leprosy frightened people in ancient times, just as contagious and mysterious diseases do even today, like Ebola. However, one very serious religious consequence of the disease is that it rendered a person ritually unclean and therefore incapable of participating in the formal act of worship, which could only happen at the temple in Jerusalem. Declaring a person to be unclean or ritually impure was done by a priest of the temple. If you read on in that passage from Leviticus from the first reading, it gives in-depth instructions on how the priest was to determine if the person had leprosy or not. And you might ask, well, why the priest? Because he was the person who was tasked with monitoring the whole process of Israelite worship, including the question of who could or could not participate in worship at the temple. And remember, Israelites were not just bound together by a common nationality, but just as important, by their religion. It was woven into the very fabric of their lives and was of utmost importance to them. The temple was key to all of this. It was the place that God declared that right worship be given to him. I've spoken before about God's plan to use the Israelites to attract all the world to the one true God. Ezekiel, Jeremiah, Isaiah all prophesied about that day when all the nations would come together at the temple in Jerusalem and worship as one, the true God. Their concept of a Messiah was all tied up in this as well. The Messiah would be the one who would purify the temple someday of all its faults and sins and be the one who would rule, or to put it another way, give right order to all peoples who had come to the place of right worship, the temple. We see that when Jesus comes into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday in that elaborate ceremony, the first thing he does after coming into town, you know, with the palm branches and all that, the first thing he does after that is to cleanse the temple with a whip made out of cords. He interrupts the false worship that was going on there because of the impurities that the Romans and others had introduced, and because Israel itself had not been faithful to the covenant. But then he goes even further, declaring that the new place of right worship would be his body. Remember that passage from the Gospel of John: "Tear down this temple, and in 3 days I will rebuild it. But he was speaking about the temple of his body. So said St. John. So Jesus says, there is now a new temple, if you will. The leper in the story senses this at some level. As this man kneels before Jesus, he doesn't even ask to be physically cured of leprosy. He says, if you want, you can make me clean. Meaning ritually clean. He was an Israelite in exile from the temple because of his medical condition. So he was a very apt symbol of the general condition of scattered, exiled, wandering Israel. In curing him, Jesus was symbolically speaking, gathering the tribes of the world to himself, bringing them back to the right worship of the true God, beginning with Israel. So, the leper was symbolic of Israel, incapable anymore of right worship. After Jesus heals him, Jesus makes a big point of telling the man to go show himself to the priest, who would then return him to be able once again to give right worship to God. In other words, go back to the temple from which you have been for so long exiled. Who is the leper today? I would like to suggest that he is a symbol today for those of us who have wandered away from the right place of worship. Those of us who are no longer able or willing to worship the true God in the manner that he asks for. We know from statistics and from our own experience that there has been a mass exodus from the church that Christ founded. Many of these people say that they are spiritual, but not religious. That is, they pray, they spend some time in contact with God, but they refuse to take the time to come to Mass. In Jesus' own time and before, the place decreed by God to be the place of true worship was the temple. But because of what Jesus did, we know now that the place of true worship is Jesus' own body, which for a Catholic means the Mass. It is only in the Mass that his body is present in a literal sense. So those who stay away from the Mass, no matter how sincerely they try to give right worship, are not doing it the way that Jesus himself said it should be done. Do you know why worship is so important? To worship is to order the whole of one's life toward the living God, and in doing so, to become rightly ordered oneself, interiorly and exteriorly. When you give right worship to the true God, you are attempting to order all the powers in you toward the true God. You become the person that you are meant to be. Mind, will, imagination, body, energies, passions, everything in you that is attempting to order itself to God now becomes rightly ordered to each other. In other words, we become whole again, with our parts working as they should. And then, when all of us worship the true God together, we become ourselves rightly ordered to each other. At least if we're open to that. We come together cohesively around the common praise of God. To worship is to signal to oneself what one's life is finally about. When you worship, you know what you are about, what you are for. Worship is nothing that God needs. God does not need our praise, but it is very much something that we need to do. St. Augustine said that we can uncover the nature of a society by asking one simple question: what do the people of that society worship? In his book, City of God, Augustine examined the Roman culture of his own time. He says there that Rome had fallen precisely because it had worshipped false gods, gods who were vain and petty and violent. And so the people became vain and petty and violent. We become like unto what we worship. And the same is true for the individual. If people do not worship the living God, they wander into a land of exile, making themselves unclean. They become disordered when they worship pleasure, power, wealth, honor, the very things held up by the culture around us. No wonder it has become so disordered. Perhaps people say, well, the Mass is tedious, it's boring, it doesn't speak to me, that's why I stay away from it. Well, first of all, the Mass is not meant to entertain you. It's meant to order you rightly. It's meant to cleanse and purify you. The Mass is the place where Jesus, even now, continues to gather the people around him. The Mass is the place where even now the temple is cleansed, because the temple is his body. The Mass is the place where we become rightly ordered in the presence of God.